You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 443.
On flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you. Might be sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm, okay. Still just the same. Nothing's happening here.
Nothing is happening.
We're just kind of regrouping, recombobulating this week.
Catching up. I like it.
Yeah, let's just catch up. You know, I'm sleepy.
Do you have your coffee?
I got coffee. I'm using that coffee mug that we got from the mayor where the picture changes on it depending on the temperature.
Oh, nice.
It starts with zombies, but then when you pour hot coffee into it, the zombies disappear, and the robots suddenly show up to replace them.
Yeah, you have the robot takeover.
Yes, the robot takeover, taking over from the zombies. It's a very strange mug. But yeah, I was on the hot coffee this morning, so it was robots. Now I've put my iced coffee into the same mug, zombies.
I miss the color-changing mugs.
What remarkable technology we have, and we're putting it to good use.
Yes, it's amazing.
You know, this is going to solve everything. I know things have been rough. We've got zombie robot mugs. I think we're about to turn things around. Cornflake, what's going on for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, there's somebody that used to be on the show Night Court that is having a 70th birthday. On November 4th, Marky Post is turning 70 years old. You remember her?
Yeah, Marky is 70?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Christine Sullivan on Night Court.
Yes, I definitely remember Marky Post, of course. She was not part of the original cast of Night Court. There were a bunch of cast changes over the years on Night Court. She came in somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But she's one of the people that everybody remembers from Night Court.
Yes, she stayed through the duration of it, and she's the one I remember best.
Yeah, there were people before her, like Selma Diamond. Man, I miss Selma Diamond.
I think that was because she was on The Fall Guy.
Selma Diamond was on The Fall Guy?
No, Marky Post.
Marky Post was on The Fall Guy. I didn't know that. I didn't watch The Fall Guy.
Oh, okay.
That was Lee Majors, the $6 million man. But now he's a stuntman, and he's not bionic. He's The Fall Guy. I had no idea Marky Post was on that, really.
Yeah, she was the bail bonds woman, Terry Michaels.
Huh. Fall Guy had a bail bonds woman as a regular?
Yes. And it was Marky Post.
Didn't realize how much trouble Lee Majors was getting into every week on The Fall Guy. He was constantly bailed out of jail. I guess I have a lot to learn.
And she was also in the sitcom Hearts Afire, but I don't remember that as well.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the show she had after that. I knew she did something. Yeah, that was with John Ritter.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I remember that it existed.
Which means you're doing better than I am in this segment.
Well, you had the name. You had the name. I could not have come up with the title Hearts of Fire. I remembered she did something, and then it was her and John Ritter. I get that mixed up with, there was a show called Anything But Love. That was Richard Lewis and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
There's a long string of, like, romantic comedy shows that I did not watch. I'm sure they're all just the best. Now, most important credit for Marky Post. As a fan, as a podcaster on the subject of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, classic Croft series, Saturday morning show from back in the 70s, of course. That was Deirdre Hall, soap opera star Deirdre Hall. She was the original Electra Woman. But they made a weird new pilot of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl in the early 2000s, I guess, starring Marky Post as Electra Woman.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was not good.
Oh, that's probably why I did not know that.
They were trying to, like, make it more of a trashy adult version of Electra Woman.
Oh.
Like, she was a washed-up, past-her-prime superhero, but then this new Dinah Girl comes along and tries to get her to be a superhero again. I think it's been a while since I suffered through the Electra Woman pilot, which has leaked out onto the internet, and it's on the bootleg market and whatnot. So it's out there. If people search around for it, you can see Marky Post as Electra Woman.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. She's still active in television and films.
Yeah, I haven't seen her since the Electra Woman pilot. And that was like 20 years ago.
A little over 20 years ago. She was in There's Something About Mary. Did you know that?
No, I saw the movie once when it came out in like 97. I don't remember Marky being in that movie.
She was Mary's mom.
Okay. I do not remember that at all. That was a cute movie.
It was, yeah.
That was, set in Rhode Island. The Farrelly brothers.
Good times.
Their father was my pediatrician. We've covered this.
Yes, we have.
We are still attempting to do the Electra Woman and Dinah Girl podcast series as part of the Batcave podcast. And it's slow going. It's been very hard to schedule these podcast recordings with our pal John over at the Batcave podcast. So I think over the past like 2 years, we've done 3 episodes, I think.
Slowly but surely.
We're getting there. They made 8 episodes and we've done 3. So we have at least 5 more Electra Woman podcasts to do. And maybe we'll cover the Marky Post pilot as well. I hope. I hope we get to that someday. That could be, 20, 30 years in the future. I don't know how long this is all going to take. All right. Marky Post. Marky Mark, from Boogie Nights. Marky Ramone from the Ramones. Is that it? I just named 3 famous Markies. Are there any more?
Biz Markie.
Okay, yeah.
Technically not the first name, but...
Yeah, and who was that? Is that a rap guy?
Yeah, he was the one in the late 80s, early 90s who had that song, Just a Friend.
Yeah. Like where it sounds horrible when he sings and it's the worst thing. Yeah, I remember that guy. That was funny. Come on, am I wrong?
You're skewering my childhood.
I'm sorry. He's one of our finest vocalists. Just a beautiful, angelic singing voice. My mistake. Can we get all the Markies together? Let them all sing together? What would that sound like?
Markies in harmony.
A super group of Markies.
Yeah.
That might be the worst thing that ever happened. Who do you think is the best singer out of that group? Probably Marky Post.
Yes.
And I've never even heard her sing.
I would put my full confidence in her.
Yeah. That's a good show. Let's book that concert tour right now. Happy birthday to our second favorite Electra Woman, Marky Post. What else is going on this week? Well, last week was our James Randi tribute show, remember?
Yeah, it was really well received, it seemed.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback on our tribute to James the Amazing Randi. And I wanted to point people towards another podcast about Randi. They talked about him on The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, of course, briefly last week. And then I think they're probably planning a bigger Randi tribute for an upcoming show. But there's also a new episode of the Skeptic podcast, because Skeptic podcast is back in business.
It's been a while since they've put out a show, isn't it?
There was a Skeptic podcast a long time ago. And our friend Rebecca, who's the leader of Skeptic. And the Skeptic podcast was so long ago that when Rebecca started it up again on the first episode, the first new episode, she said, isn't it funny? We've never done a Skeptic podcast before. And then I'm listening to it thinking, what? Yes, you did. I used to listen to it. And Rebecca completely forgot that she used to do a Skeptic podcast. So episode 2, she was like, yeah, everybody. So apparently we did used to do the Skeptic podcast. And I have no memory of doing this. It was on the Skeptic podcast. They did an episode where listeners had submitted ideas for Skeptic-themed mixed drinks. And that was the origin of the signature Skeptic cocktail, the Buzzed Aldrin.
Oh, I remember the Buzzed Aldrin.
Yeah. Which is vodka and tang.
Tang, yep.
That was created on the Skeptic podcast. Anyway, last week they did a new Skeptic podcast episode, which was their show about James Randi. And it was Rebecca and A and Maria. And I just talked to Maria a few days ago, actually. And they did a fantastic job. And they were all very close to Randi as well. And also, they get into some of the problems in the Skeptic scene. on our show, we touched on the fact that, you know, Randy wasn't perfect. Randy made mistakes and there were issues, but we didn't really dwell on it. But they go a little deeper on some of the problems that developed in the skeptic community and very serious stuff. And they also, you know, they loved Randy. They had great things to say about Randy as well, but they also do not shy away from the very serious problems that came up in the skeptic scene and also directly involving Randy's organization. So definitely worth a listen, and always love to hear what those ladies have to say over at Skeptic, friends of ours. We'll have a link. Go check that out. The other thing I forgot to mention about Randy, I completely forgot to mention that just 5 years ago, there was a documentary all about James Randi. The movie is called An Honest Liar. It's excellent. Fascinating movie. I don't know if it's easily available anywhere. I think you can rent it online somewhere. I don't know. So everybody, go see An Honest Liar, the James Randi documentary, if you can.
Yeah.
If you find it, let me know. I'm really bad at figuring out where things are and where anybody can see anything. But if you can find it, absolutely worth seeing. And again, thanks everybody for all the great feedback we got. We got more feedback than usual about last week's show. Usually we get zero feedback. So when we get a little bit, that's nice. And we got quite a bit last week. So thanks for that. All right, moving on. Just kind of catching up. What's happening with you this week, Cornflake?
I saw something pretty cool, Kevin. I went to a place in Maine called Sandy Hill Farm, because right now, through November 8th, they have something called the Folklore Trail. It's a socially distanced walk through the woods with holiday lights. And they made like this 13-foot tunnel that when it lights up, it looks like you're walking through the center of a pumpkin. It's a little bit weird to have something in the dark around Halloween where nobody's like jumping out from behind a tree to try to spook you.
Mm.
It's like a nature walk. And they built like these glowing landscapes and fairy villages to walk through. And toward the end of it, I'm walking through and there was a part of it, something that reminded me of our friend from the ESO Network, Mike Gordon. They had this whole region with glowing tiki masks.
All right, you found a weird thing. Sort of Halloween thing, but it's not scary. So cornflake appropriate.
Exactly.
All right. Again, we're recording before Halloween. The show comes out post-Halloween. Have not watched The Great Pumpkin yet, but I will certainly get that in. Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, come on.
Gotta.
Yeah, I think the original Halloween movie and Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, those are the only things that I really make a point of catching every year. Have to do that. We should mention also our sister podcast, But First Let's Talk Nerdy. That is the subject this week. One of their subjects this week is It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
That's a classic.
Yes, so check that out. If you want to hear Martha and Brittany talk all about It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, that's happening this week. They're doing Halloween shows for like a month and a half every week. So they're covering all kinds of Halloween-themed subjects over there.
And of course, I need to watch my Garfield's Halloween special, too.
Yeah, you watch Garfield Halloween. I do not. I saw that, I think, maybe once in the 80s.
Candy, 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 candy.
You know, the best thing I've seen this week, just a short little clip that I saw yesterday. It's Linda Carter.
Oh, yeah.
You know Wonder Woman?
Yes.
From the 70s?
Yes.
You had Electra Woman. And you had Wonder Woman. Linda just posted a little clip. It's her doing the spin. She's doing the Wonder Woman spin, and she's wearing a Joe Biden Kamala Harris shirt.
Yes, I saw this.
With the caption she added to it is, "This week, I'm spinning into my best superhero gear. Walk, run, or spin on down to the polls and vote early for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris if you haven't already voted by mail."
That was awesome.
And it's just, there's Linda spinning, you know, and Linda Carter, it looks like Linda Carter from 1977, you know,
yeah.
She is just as immortal as if she were actually a goddess from Themyscira. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, she isn't aged.
I was delighted to see Linda spinning in the Biden-Harris shirt. I know there are podcasts, there are shows where they say, well, we're not going to get political. I say, you know what? Yeah, we will. We'll get political. I will say, Linda in the Biden-Harris shirt, I'm glad she's getting political too. Yeah, and, you know, you'll hear people say, it's so important. Get out and vote. I don't even care who you vote for. Make sure you get out and vote.
Oh.
I'm not going to say that.
No, let's not say that.
Absolutely care who you vote for. If you're not on the same side as Wonder Woman, I don't want you to vote. You stay home.
Here, here.
Linda's going to hop in the invisible plane. She's going to go vote correctly. I saw Linda Carter do the Wonder Woman spin in person once.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah, that was at, we went to see Linda perform at the Mohegan Sun Casino down in Connecticut, where we've seen so many goofy shows over the years. But a long time ago, this was maybe like 15 years ago or so, it was Linda with her band, you know, because she used to tour and sing like with a nightclub kind of act. And she still does on occasion. So we were like, tires screeching. Linda Carter's in Connecticut. Let's go. And we went down there and saw her do her show. She sings quite well. And obviously, you know, she's immortal. She looked beautiful. She walked out and just jaws were dropping in the audience. Like, what year is this?
Yeah, she has not aged.
How did Wonder Woman 1978 Linda Carter just walk out on stage? And in the middle of the show, she said, all right, I'm going to do the spin. And did the Wonder Woman spin. And look at her this week on the internet. She's still spinning. Spinning for a good cause. Spinning to try to save us. So thank you, Linda Carter. Yeah, we've seen so many goofy shows on that same stage. You know, we've seen Air Supply there. And Christopher Cross. Everybody shows up at that stage. Sheena Easton, Taylor Dane. All our favorites.
I still love that you went to go see Christopher Cross there.
Absolutely, we went to see Christopher Cross in Connecticut. Best decision I ever made. Worst decision I ever made was we missed, I think it was about a year ago, Donnie Most was there. You know, Ralph Malph from Happy Days. Donnie Most also tours and does like a big band kind of a show. He's a singer as well.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, we missed him. You know who didn't miss him, though? Ken Reed went down there from TV Guidance Counselor and did an interview with Donnie Most.
How cool.
Anyway, yeah, Christopher Cross. He's the best. And Linda, we love her. What else is going on? See anything else? Do anything else lately?
Haven't done anything else yet. Looking forward to this weekend. The Aquabats are doing a live online show this weekend in promotion of their new album. And they're making it like an online Halloween party. So I'm going. My friend Laura's going. We're totally looking forward to that. What about you?
Oh, you know, I guess I do have another Halloween thing as well. This is turning into way more of a Halloween show, post-Halloween show than I thought it would be.
Well, that's what we do. We underpromise and we overdeliver.
We're underprepared.
And we still overdeliver.
We just start the recorder, see what happens. I got a text from our friend Matt just a couple of days ago because he was trying to remember these weird Halloween costumes that he used to see commercials for in the early 80s. Matt was describing these bizarre Halloween costumes to me, and I was able to do a little Googling and figure out what in the world he was talking about. I do not remember these at all, but they were called Kooky Spooks.
Kooky Spooks.
It's like an inflatable head that you wear on top of your own head.
What?
And they made a whole bunch of them. So it'd be like a like the head of a bat or of a spider. They made a whole bunch of them. But you would inflate a head, and then it somehow attaches over your head. Then you just kind of wear like a poncho. And it comes with makeup, because like the big head that's on top of your head is supposed to be the head,
right,
you know, of the costume. So they include makeup that you're supposed to black out your face with, so that people are just looking up at the inflatable head. So like Matt and I were looking at these ads where like this kid is dressed up like Al Jolson in blackface.
Oh.
It's like a kid with a big, these are horrifying cornflakes. There's a kid with like a big inflatable bat head, and then the kid's face is all blacked out by makeup.
Oh, wow.
This was an actual product that they were selling to the children in the early 80s. I don't know how I missed this. I have no memory of this. But the, you can see the commercials online for Kooky Spooks costume kits.
Yeah, I don't remember this either. Wow.
Absolutely bizarre. So, you know, just in case Halloween has not been ruined enough yet.
There's still time because there's Kooky Spooks.
Get yourself a Kooky Spooks inflatable head and some inappropriate makeup and enjoy.
Wow, we know how to party.
All right, you know what? Just so this isn't a complete waste of everyone's time. Maybe that ship has sailed. I don't know. But just so we can say we did something, how about a little pudding pages?
I'm down with the pudding pages.
I do have the pudding book here. Whatever happened to Pudding Pops? And I feel like we haven't done this in quite a while. So let's knock out a Pudding Pops segment right now. You're at a very safe distance from the supercomputer, but I'm going to fire this thing up. It's going to generate a random number. Normally, you're standing by with the fire extinguisher as I cautiously approach. It's all on me right now. We keep this giant old-timey supercomputer here in the studio, even though it's a fire hazard, because it has the capability of generating a random number.
Yeah, we got to count on the supercomputer for that, or we would be at a complete loss.
All right, Cornflake, here we go. According to the supercomputer, we're going to page 146.
I wonder what page 146 will bring.
That reminds me of Rhode Island. In Rhode Island, you drive on Route 146. That takes you between Providence, you know, the capital city.
Yes.
You head north out of Providence on 146. That shoots you straight into the middle of Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Yeah, it does.
Look out.
I've been there.
Along the way, you could stop at the Lincoln Mall. You know, let's go to the mall. There's a drive-in movie theater, which showed, when I was a kid, they showed nothing but porn.
Oh, that's awesome. Skin flicks.
Sometime like in the late 80s, they rehabilitated and started showing regular movies there. Route 146. There's a lot going on there. Anyway, on page 146 in our book here, our book, Whatever Happened to Pudding Pops. Oh, this is a good one, Cornflake. I've landed on Power Records book and record sets. Did you have the book and record sets as a kid?
I used to have book and record sets, yes, but I never knew the brand.
Yeah, well, Power Records was specifically action-adventure kind of stuff. All the superhero book and record sets were done through Power Records. So there were like the Disney ones, yeah. You know, and the other kind of kiddie ones around. We had those as well.
Lassie. I had one for Lassie.
You had a Lassie book and record set?
I did.
Was it just a dog barking for 45 minutes?
Yeah, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah, I would get the book and record sets of like Batman. The one that I remember best was I had a Batman book and record set from Power Records. And it was Batman and Robin and the Joker. And the Joker had stolen a Picasso painting.
Nefarious.
And I remember this because I'd never heard of Picasso. And they weren't even saying a painting. They were just saying, the Joker's stolen a Picasso.
This is how you learned who Picasso was?
Yeah, just in the context, I figured out that, okay, a Picasso is a painting. But I don't think I even knew that that was the name of the artist.
So to you, a Picasso could have been anything.
Could have been anything. All I knew was the Joker stole one. Batman had to get it back.
That adds an element of mystery to it when you don't know what a Picasso is. Your imagination can just go wild.
But they were great. I think Neil Adams, a comic book artist Neil Adams, who drew a million things in the 70s, I think he did a lot of the art for the Power Records book and record sets.
So you would put on the record, you'd read along in the book, and then there'd be a chime sound, and you'd turn the page.
Yeah. They'd have to signal the kid to turn the page. Because kids are idiots.
Yeah, you couldn't tell when you were done with the text that it was time to go on to the next page.
We were complete idiots. There would also be a little message at the end of side one. They'd have to tell you, all right, kid, flip the record over.
Yes.
We're moving to side two. But yeah, I had Batman. I know I also had, not from Power Records, because again, they were just doing like the superhero adventures stuff. But I know I had a Flintstones book and record as well, where Fred was going on a diet.
Can only imagine how well that went.
Just imagine me with my stupid record player and I'm listening to Fred Flintstone complaining about having to eat cottage cheese.
Wow, that's entertainment.
That was the most entertaining thing. Until the Joker stole that Picasso, all I had was Fred on a diet. Do you think a kid today would be entertained by an old-fashioned book and record set? Or would they just fling it out the window, where's my iPad?
Yeah. The record would quickly become a frisbee and an iPad would be demanded immediately. I don't think most kids would be into that.
Because kids, at a very early age, kids would have to learn how to operate a record player. And I remember, like, before I even could tell what was side one and what was side two, like, my mom would draw a little picture on the record label on side one so that we would know which side was which.
Oh, that's really cool.
Otherwise, I'd still be... I would have been listening to the whole thing in reverse. Like, Fred would have been gaining weight.
Or you would have been hearing some hidden message.
Yeah! If I literally played it backwards. If you play the Power Records backwards, Fred Flintstone is worshiping the devil. Yes. It was a huge scandal. All right, Power Records.
And it took a turn.
Took a weird satanic turn, but you know, it's Halloween weekend, so why not? Cornflake, you know, let's wrap up.
All right, time to go then. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast. And on Twitter, our handle is @Flopcast. On Instagram, _Flopcast. All fine places on the internet where you can find our show and correspond with us. How about going over to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating or a review, or maybe even both? We'd love that. Music for the Flopcast is performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, even though none of those guys are named Marky, but I think we should book them as the opening act on the new Marky's World Tour.
What happens if you play a Sponge Awareness Foundation album backwards?
Oh, there are some backwards messages on a Sponge Awareness song or two. And they're every bit as ridiculous as you suspect. Quick plug, Cornflake, before we get out of here. And that's for the ESO Network Patreon. Because, you know, we have a Patreon, our network. Flopcast does not have a Patreon.
No.
We're not getting a nickel from anybody.
And that's the way we like it.
Until this Marky Post singing tour takes off. We are flat broke, but there is a Patreon for the ESO network as a whole, and if you support our network, we try to provide you with bonus content. And for one thing, there's a monthly special Patreon-exclusive podcast, which I am a part of. It's called ESO Bored Silly, and that's I'm part of the board of directors for the network, and every month we record just the goofy podcast, just goofing around, talking about whatever. And we've done, like, I don't know, 7-8 episodes of that so far. We do it every month. So you can hear me and Mike and Mary and Scott just being silly on ESO Board Silly. In addition to that, we try to do some extra Flopcast Patreon exclusive episodes when we can. And we just put out a new one this week. It's the Flopcast Patreon Extra Bonus Show Episode 10 just came out. It's another edition of Movies with the Mayor. That's when me and the mayor of Chickentown watch a movie and discuss. We make a little podcast out of it, you know?
Yes, you guys have had this running special show for a while now.
We've done a few of these. And this week, this week, because it was Halloween week, we watched a classic monster movie, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ooh, spooky.
I like this movie a lot. I've seen it many times. Felicity, the mayor, had never seen Creature from the Black Lagoon before. So we watched Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we discussed. And the conversation drifted into various silly directions, of course. It's not all creepy horror movie talk. You know, it gets ridiculous. How could it not?
What fun would it be otherwise?
We even discussed some other lagoons.
I was wondering if there might have been some Blue Lagoon talk in this.
Oh, Blue Lagoon. We did not talk about the Blue Lagoon. Oh, no. Blue Lagoon, way creepier than Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's a creepy movie. Yeah, there's the Blue Lagoon. There's Creature from the Black Lagoon. The only other famous lagoon I can think of, and we did mention this one on the show, and that's the lagoon from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, on Gilligan's Island, you rarely, if ever, see the ocean, even though theoretically...
they're on an island in the ocean.
Yeah. But they're just parked at that lagoon.
That's where I would be.
I think that was for logistical filming purposes. I don't think Sherwood Schwartz was interested in trying to produce a TV show literally on the beach. He did that once, and that's when the Brady Bunch went to Hawaii.
Yeah, once would probably be enough for that.
That didn't go so well for Greg, you know, out there on the surfboard.
No, it did not.
Look out. So, yeah, Gilligan and the skipper, they stayed in their lagoon. And so did the creature from the Black Lagoon. And we break it all down for you this week over on Patreon. So, Patreon people, check that out. Cornflake, thanks for hanging out with me for this weird, aimless, semi-Halloween kind of a show. We do have something actually planned for next week. Hope to see you there. Everybody, be safe. Be good. Be sure to vote. Be like Linda Carter. Be a hero. Take care of each other. We'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
everyone these days could use a little support. And your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show, and I heard a rumor that you have something on standby over there. You have some sort of a prop, some sort of an item, some kind of mysterious package has arrived just in time for the after show. What you got?
Occasionally, a package will make its way to the outpost, and
I fully support the idea that whatever you have to do, just keep it for the show.
Yes.
As we prove tonight,
we got nothing to talk about.
We got nothing. So it's like, you know what? We're just going to open our mail.
Yeah.
So what you got?
You know our friend Jan?
Yes.
She said, I've been meaning to send you something. She had something in mind just for me. And so she mailed it over. Don't know exactly what's in this box, but you can probably hear me. I'm opening it now.
I hear you wrestling with something over there. This is not a bag, so this is not what's in the bag. This is what's in the box.
It's what's in the bubble wrap. Bubble wrap.
You got bubble wrap. I can hear the bubble wrap a-popping.
Oh. Jan knows me. She sent me lobstery things.
Yeah.
So I've got this chrome-colored metal lobster that looks like it's...
Isn't she, like, in the Midwest somewhere?
Yeah, she is.
How'd she get her hands on lobsters? Shouldn't you be mailing lobsters to her?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the other way around, but she just knows I like them. So I've got this, like, chrome-colored metal lobster. It looks almost like it's a cake pan, so I could make a cake lobster. What is this? In a little container, she sent me a pair of lobster dice.
Lobster dice?
Lobster dice, yeah.
Here we go. Can start doing a little gambling on the show now.
Yeah, in place of the one, there's a lobster. All the other sides, they have, like, the regular settings, but you're going to find me out in the alley with the lobster dice.
Try them right now. Throw the dice.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I got a lobster.
Well, did you throw just one or throw them both?
No, I threw them both. The other one was a six.
Okay.
But I'm excited about the lobster. I get a lobster.
So you rolled a seven, but you don't even care about the six.
No.
Just the lobster.
I just care about the lobster.
Okay. This is going to be a very difficult game of Monopoly to get through.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.